BigRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Ed Sullivan. We're sponsored by the South Bend Chocolate Cafe in downtown South Bend, and for the next 15 minutes, we'll be reviewing Notre Dame's big win over North Carolina this weekend. We'll talk about college football in general and talk about Notre Dame's chances for a BCS bid as usual. So let's get started, Ed. Notre Dame's victory over North Carolina, 45-26. On the one hand, you look at the 45 points, you feel good about that.
Yes.
But was it a completely satisfying win? We seem to be asking this question every week. When can Notre Dame put together a complete win with style points included?
There were some unsatisfactory aspects about this game. And as I'm sitting in the stadium with some folks around me, everybody kind of had the same sense of, can we ever get more than two scores up on somebody? And we were just on the threshold of doing that. And everyone was literally joking about, okay, we get one more, we could just relax. And then the bottom would fall out on us. And I think there's some problems that are revealed in some of these wins where we can't finish people off.
Okay, well, let's start and talk about some of the positives. Obvious positive performance, Brady Quinn once again.
Phenomenal.
I mean, he just does it week in and week out.
If he were anywhere else, there would be no question he's the front runner. People would be still saying it's his to lose, et cetera. It's only because he's at Notre Dame that people are more suspicious, and they don't want to just hand it to him because there was so much hype early. But he just had a great game.
And again, four touchdown passes, no interceptions. Quinn is closing in. He already owns the Notre Dame record for most consecutive pass attempts without an interception. And he's closing in on the NCAA record.
Yeah, it's in his sights.
It's about 60 attempts
67,
away.
I think it was.
And, that's in the next two games against Army and Air Force, he really has a great chance of establishing
right.
that NCAA record.
Oh, it's totally within sight.
How about that for the Heisman resume? Wouldn't that be something?
Right. That would be fantastic. It really would. I mean, he had a bad half against Michigan. He had a horrendous half against
right.
Michigan and a bad game against Michigan. Questionable half, first half against Michigan State. The guy has done phenomenal throughout. There was a couple of plays on Saturday. He had one play where he had like 8 seconds and he couldn't find anybody. He didn't decide to run and eventually got sacked. Other than that,
You're really nitpicking now.
Yes, I am.
I mean,
yes.
Brady Quinn maybe held onto the ball in the pocket a little too much. I'll grant you that. But overall, I mean, the
just
performance
great.
Of Brady Quinn,
just
once
great.
Again, the leadership he brings.
And his receivers played
and
great.
And the execution. I thought there were a few drops. McKnight, I got to say, there's a few
he drops one a game.
Throughout the season that over the middle, you wonder about McKnight a little bit. Samardzija dropped one. What would have been a difficult catch. I guess in terms of Samardzija, we have been so accustomed to seeing him make the great catch. When he doesn't make the great catch, you're a little disappointed.
But
Samardzija has a great game, nearly 200 yards receiving, and sets the Notre Dame record for career touchdowns.
Yes.
And he does it in a year and a half. Over a year and a half?
Yeah, essentially. That's right. Yeah.
So that was tremendous.
Carlson.
Another great game
great
for Carlson.
Great game for Carlson.
Carlson
he had one drop. That was a difficult catch, too, and almost made a great circus bobbling catch. But just played great. And he's such a go-to guy right now. Gives defenses a lot of trouble to know that they have to guard all those guys, and then you've kind of, they get the tight end releasing, and he's got good speed, he's got good hands, and he's got some quicks in there. I think he's having a great year. He could be a consensus All-American. He leads the nation in reception yards as a tight end.
So that's some of the good.
Okay. All right.
On the downside, the offensive line gave up 3 sacks. The running game has not been a consistent weapon all year long and struggled against North Carolina, who was not very good against the run. Darius Walker, by the end of the game, had a respectable total, about 84 yards. And then the freshman, James Aldrich, ran hard and, and really was a very physical runner late in the game. But I think we'd have to say the run game wasn't that good.
No, I agree. It wasn't that good. While there were some good runs, it was nothing we could count on. One of the ways that is we threw a lot. We threw a lot.
Well, I don't know that that's an indication that the running game. We threw a lot because North Carolina's defensive secondary wasn't any good. And Charlie Weiss commented on this, having seen where their safeties play, he was licking his chops to go deep and, you know, get the ball vertical on them. And we did. So I don't know that throwing the ball like we did was a sign that we couldn't run it as much
well,
as it was the game plan.
We put ourselves in some passing situations on more than one occasion. And every time we did, we came up big. Or nearly
yes.
Every time we did, we came up big.
There were some sacks. We had third and long, and we're 8 of 14 on third down, which was a good sign.
That's an outrageously good statistic. But we got stuffed. You know, the thing about Aldridge is I think we need to see him while the game is still in doubt to see what he does as a total player. I'm excited about him. He runs differently than Darius, but the fact is he's coming in at mop-up time. He's coming in as an excited young runner with a defense that's just been hammered.
I'd love to see him in when the game's still on the line.
Yeah.
Same with.
But let's go back to
Prince.
Prince as well. Let's go back to some of the problems.
Defense.
Especially teams breakdown.
Okay.
That
was special teams.
That was very depressing. Two specialty teams breakdowns. We turned the ball over on a punt return, all right, and the kickoff return.
The kickoff. You know, they ran a fake reverse. Couple guys got out of position, but the thing about the special teams, it wasn't guys not breaking down, not being in their lanes. We missed like four tackles.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought the tackling was very poor all day, which sort of segues into the defensive appraisal. You know, the defense, overall, your view of the defensive performance, because I think you could spin it a few different ways, but what do you think?
You know, I give it a C, frankly. And there were some plays that I thought the effort wasn't all that good. When we gave up the big score, I think we scored right after that, kicked off down to them, and the stadium was coming alive a little bit, and it was one of those points in the game, like, are we going to let these guys get back in this and make it a game? And suddenly the defense started to play with some urgency and really shut them down. It was a fourth quarter possession, I remember, and you just saw them fire off the ball differently, fly to the ball differently. So it makes me think that there was something of a letdown going on mentally. But there's some problems defensively. It's hard to hide it. And we are one mistake away from letting big plays kill us all the time. And
all year long, there's been big plays given up by this defense. We saw it again versus North Carolina. And the question is why? Why are we seeing these things? Overall, the defensive performance against North Carolina, I don't think was that bad. And here's why I say that.
Well, statistically.
Statistically. We dominated. North Carolina had, 230, 240 yards of offense, which is a great performance by the defense. Time of possession was good. Third down conversions were good. They had virtually no rushing offense whatsoever. However, there were a couple big pass plays.
Big however.
And, yeah, it is. And that's why everybody sort of feels, here we go again. We can't close people out, as you said at the beginning of the show. Why can't we finish a win? The big play, obviously, was the long touchdown pass in the third quarter. And, we've got a listener who calls from Canada with this comment about Notre Dame's defensive secondary.
Hey, Dome and Domer, Keith from Ottawa. My question has to do with the defensive backfield. I'm wondering, after the man coverage we played against North Carolina and got burned a few times, if we would see some more zone or possibly cover two, or how can we fix the problem? Thanks. Have a good show.
Okay, Ed, so what do you think? Is this a question of scheme? Is this a question of, whether or not we're playing too much man? Should we be playing different kinds of zone? And how do you fix the problem?
Well, it's really difficult to criticize people on the basis of scheme without knowing what they're trying to do, what they were in on any particular play. On that play, the long touchdown up the sidelines in the second half, I saw Lambert slip and fall. So, okay, a guy slips and falls. What can you do about that?
Speaking to the question of, man-to-man versus zone, do you think Notre Dame's playing too much? On that play, I think from what I could tell, we had man coverage underneath with Zibikowski playing zone over the top, and I don't think that's a question of scheme as much as it's a question of execution. Our guy fell down.
That's right. And we actually were close to getting to the quarterback, and we didn't. And so you put all those things together. It's more about execution than it is about X and O's. Why being in man, being in zone.
If it was that simple, don't you think Rick Minter would have figured it out by now?
Right.
Just play cover two.
Yeah,
and
you can't just sit back and play cover two all the time, or play zone all the time, play man all the time. You got to mix it up. You got to bring people. It's something I've said throughout in terms of our defense. I think to really create a rush, we have to bring people. And when you do that, well, then it changes the scheme you get to play in the defensive
exactly.
backfield.
I think Notre Dame fans typically complain that we don't blitz enough, and then we get critiques that, well, we should be playing too much man.
Were they blitzing for?
Why don't we play more zone, right? And all year long, you've heard people say, why are we blitzing in this situation? You know, if it works, it's a great call. If it doesn't, it's a bad call. And so, what's the problem? I think the problem is personnel, and how do you fix that? Recruiting.
Right. Look, I think the defense is held together with scotch tape right now. And in some sense, you got to pat the coaches on their back a little bit for trying to do a lot with what they've got. And there's been some improvement by our D-backs. But they sometimes still don't know how to make plays when at the ball. The other long pass, was it Lambert again?
Lambert had a tough day. He got picked on a lot.
And was it Lambert who went up with the kid and they both had their hands on it?
Yeah,
that was Lambert,
right,
wasn't it?
Lambert was all over him.
That was pretty good coverage.
The North Carolina kid took it away from him. And then there was the first touchdown in the third quarter from North Carolina.
Right after that kid took it
Lambert
away from him.
Lambert looked completely lost.
Once the ball was up in the air, he looked,
which is different than what
he was on him.
Seen Lambert, I thought it was very poor coverage. And we've seen Lambert this year many times make plays with the ball in the air that last year you didn't see guys make.
Right.
And Lambert seemed to be a guy who could do that. He didn't against North Carolina. He had a bad day at the office. But I really think the problem is not a question of scheme. I think it's a problem of personnel. And what this coaching staff has done with the personnel on both sides of the ball to have won 16 out of his first 20 games, it's pretty remarkable given the talent level in the program after two bad recruiting years in a row by Tyrone Willingham.
Yes, I think that point, you can't fail to lose that point. But just the final point on the caller's question, you got to admit a little bit, there's been a couple of situations where you scratched your head about why we were bringing people, and Purdue end of the first half comes to mind. And
now, that's the same situation as I think this call. We Zbikowski was deep over the top, and Zbikowski collides with Darren Walls, 88-yard touchdown, or 80-yard, whatever.
Yeah, there was 50 seconds left in the half.
Right, and we had a safety deep. I know that, yes, you brought in Duquay, just like on this
yeah,
play in question.
Yeah, that's my Duquay point there. That was like third and 15 or something?
Well, if it works, it's a good call. You had a safety over the top. The guys on the field have to make the plays, and I think too often those of us sitting in the stands or at home find it very easy to second guess. Oh, he should have called the other scheme, the other play, the other front. I don't buy it. It's a question of personnel, and we'll get better over the next couple of years.
Well, spoken like a former coach.
Okay. Well, moving on. Let's talk about college football this past weekend. And the weekend started on Thursday night with some fireworks in Louisville at Papa John's Stadium.
Oh, boy. College football Thursday night, Papa John's Stadium. And we had the two national contenders, Louisville versus West Virginia, who between the two of them haven't beaten anybody.
I thought at the best it was an entertaining game.
Oh, it was entertaining, all right.
It was must-see TV on a Thursday night.
I saw the second half. I was impressed with Louisville's offense, also West Virginia's offense. I don't think either of them play any defense, and you are not looking at people who are going to be able to stay on the field against Michigan or Ohio State.
I agree.
Or USC, for that matter.
I agree completely. And the level of execution wasn't very good. Lots of balls on the ground and penalties and so forth. Neither one of those teams, in my mind, is a national contender. But what cracks me up about the college football landscape is, hey, if Louisville now goes undefeated, they're in the BCS game. But wait a minute. If Rutgers goes undefeated and beats Louisville,
Rutgers isn't a national contender.
And don't misunderstand me.
Same schedule.
Yeah, I'm not saying Rutgers should be. I'm saying Louisville shouldn't be.
Right.
Because the quality of their non-conference schedule as well as their conference schedule, you can't tell me the Big East is tough because Rutgers, West Virginia, and Louisville all have beat lousy non-conference opponents.
Right.
That doesn't make the conference good.
No, it doesn't. And last year, they were considered to be a joke conference. And on the strength of one win, a good win, West Virginia goes to a bowl game, beats Georgia. Now everyone's changed their mind about the entire conference?
That's right. West Virginia is getting the benefit of the doubt, as is the conference, based on last year's end-of-the-season performance. And let's talk about that. That's what's happening throughout the top 10, with the exception, well, even included Notre Dame. Texas is on knocking on the doorstep of the BCS game as well because of last year. Texas is third in the Associated Press because of last year. I don't see that. I'm not sure. I'm sorry, it's in the coaches poll, but I'm not sure why what Texas has done this year to be clearly that much ahead of, say, a one-loss Notre Dame team.
Right, right. Although I gotta say, Texas has beaten Oklahoma, has beaten Nebraska.
Right. And those are Georgia Tech and Penn State.
Those are good wins as well.
And Texas okay, has those close wins.
Look, I think the problem is who do you pick? Who should be there? I mean, go on the record and pick somebody.
Well, actually, at this point, Florida or Auburn would be my best one-loss teams out there. And there's still a lot of football to be played. I'm saying it's not Texas in my mind. It's not Texas. Now, there's still a lot of football to be played, and this will all sort itself out. But it just better not be Louisville.
that's the big thing. But I think it is. I think you're going to see. I think they're just good enough to beat Pitt and to beat Rutgers, and I think they're going to be in the national championship game.
Okay, well, we got another email from a listener. John from Dallas comments and asks about Notre Dame's chances for a BCS bowl bid with, we even hesitate to say it, with a loss to Southern Cal.
Yeah. Well, and I don't see it. If we lose to SC, I think we're done as far as the BCS. As I mentioned before in the show, we've gotten sort of hammered this year. We haven't gotten what I call the elevator effect. You lose early, you drop, right? And then people ahead of you lose, and you just choom, choom, choom. You move up floor by floor by floor. The elevator's going up. And if you keep winning, you rise up. Well, that didn't happen to us this year. We've been stuck right about 10. Consequently, if we lose to USC, we don't have any room to fall and still be in the mix for the BCS. Had we risen up back to about 5, and then we lose to USC, we'd drop to 12 or 13, and we'd be in the mix for the BCS. I don't see it now.
Well, I think that's true right now as Notre Dame sits 9th in the BCS. But with lots of football left to be played, USC has Cal coming up. If SC knocks off Cal and we knock off SC, of course, there's a couple key games in the SEC yet to be played.
This is assuming we lose to USC. Will we make the BCS if we lose to USC?
Okay, no, I understand. If USC beats Cal and we move up a spot there and an SEC game breaks a certain way, an upset, and we move up a little more and we play close to USC but lose in a heartbreaker, I could see us staying in the top 14 of the BCS, which is all we need to be eligible. And at that point, it really depends how many other two-loss teams there are, who they are. The Notre Dame TV draw, the
Notre
ratings
TV
appeal,
big,
the
big
ticket
yes.
sales. If we're top 14 and play USC close, and SC is still considered a strong one-loss team, I think we still might get in. I tell you, here's a wild card, though. The Boise State.
Boise
State, as a non-BCS conference school, is eligible for the BCS if they are in the top 14. And they are top 12. And they are actually a lock for the BCS if they finish in the they're at least in the top 14 and are ranked higher than the conference champion of a BCS conference.
And here we have a problem.
It's the ACC.
Right.
The ACC conference champion, you know, the leader right now is Georgia Tech, and Boise State's ranked ahead of them.
That's right.
So what that means for Notre Dame fans is Boise State could take one of those four at-large slots that we count on to get our BCS berth. So that's something that could play out. It's the equivalent to me of the NCAA tournament where an upset happens in a conference tournament, and so there's fewer large teams, and if you're a bubble team, you don't get in.
One of the mid-majors that you count on winning their tournament and getting in, now they lose
and
their
they
tournament,
still
they're
in.
Still going to get in.
So
it's
as a bubble team, right, so we lose to USC, we're a bubble team, so it's really critical for Notre Dame. Go out to L.A., take care of business, and lock up a BCS bid.
Absolutely.
Okay, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. We're sponsored by the South Bend Chocolate Cafe in downtown South Bend. I'm Mike Sullivan, and I've been joined by my brother Ed Sullivan. We'll be back later in the week for a preview of the Notre Dame Air Force game. Until then, remember, I'm Dome, but he's Domer.